So we are getting more requests than really we have since I've been there in the last 6 years. We sent out more courses last month than we have in any single month, at least since I've been tracking that. So the desire for the learning of God's word is there, perhaps more than ever. Of course, we're all aware of what's happening around us, and people are really thinking more, it seems, about spiritual things. And so we're getting a lot more of those requests. And so the decision had to be made whether to kind of close down because we couldn't be together or whether we could keep it going. And so that does just affirm that decision that keeping it going has been definitely the way that the Lord wanted it to go, because we've been getting more and more. So I'll just stop there with the ministry. And if, of course, if anyone ever has any questions about that, feel free just to reach out to me directly. I'm sure there's several there who know how to do that, but we do appreciate your prayers and appreciate your thoughts when it comes to what we're doing in service of the Lord. But as far as this morning goes, I thought that we would take a look at the second epistle of Peter, and we'll be in chapter 1. And really what I wanted to talk about briefly this morning was the fruitful growth in the faith, just the Christian virtues that we should add to our faith in order to be as an impactful example of Christ as we possibly can be. So let's just read some verses there in the New King James, and we'll read 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll go verses, we'll start at verse 2 and go through either 9 or 11. Let's see where the Lord leads. So starting in verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we see here again, what we should add to our faith in order to be an impactful example as Christ as we can be. And we've seen this, again, just even with our inmates and with other people that are out there questioning spiritual things, and how much people are wanting to know more about Christ and how God has called us to be an example and to share the gospel and share faith with them. And so just looking through down some of these verses that we see here in 2 Peter, there's a lot here. We'll start in verse 3, where Peter starts talking about God's divine power. We see that word knowledge right off the bat, and actually we see it even before that in verse 2, when it says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God's divine power is the source of everything in our spiritual life and the living out of that life here on earth. Now, we know we're not promised everything that we might want for comfort and happiness, and that's the big difference between our wants and our needs. Of course, it doesn't say his divine power has given us everything we want, right? It's everything we need. We need food, right? We want that steak dinner, or at least I do. We need clothing. We want that $100 pair of shoes, or maybe for the ladies, the diamond bracelet, whatever that happens to be. But we're provided resources from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the instruction found in his word that enable us to enjoy spiritual blessings and overcome sin. These resources are ours through the knowledge of him who called us. And so knowing Christ is the means by which we become like him, which makes total sense. If you ever hear about any of these great parts that some of these actors and actresses play, you hear them talk about the countless hours of research and practice that they've done to become that person for either the TV show or the film, whatever it happens to be. And so surely they wouldn't be able to give a convincing enough performance if they just read through some notes and then winged it for the performance. They gather as much knowledge as they possibly can, and then that person shines through in their performance. And it's the same principle here. If we want to truly become like Christ, we need to know him. Like, we need to really know him. And this is something that we're called to do. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Say, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So he called us by his own glory and virtue. And there's so many examples of this in Scripture, Christ's glory and virtue. We see it in his sinlessness. We see it in his compassion for the lost and the needy. We see it in his power over all forces. We see it in his righteous standards. We see it in his humble submission to God's redemptive plan. And of course, we see that in Christ being raised from the dead. So all of those things affirm that qualification to call us to be like him, to call us to be his people. They also qualify him to make us these exceedingly great and precious promises, as it states in verse 4, that if we have this victorious Christian living, we escape that corruption that is in the world through lust. And so since he's provided all that we need, again, not want, each of us is personally responsible to take full advantage of that, diligently disciplining ourselves to know Christ better and to become morally like him. Now, no one ever said that's easy. There's considerable effort that is necessary on our part to do that, because true Christianity is active. It's not passive. It's so much more than coming to church on a Sunday or logging into a Zoom meeting on a Sunday morning to be fed. It's those other 6 days when we're not here, when we're not together, when we're not with each other or in the church or on this meeting, where we're hard at work sharing the gospel and Christ's love with others and really showing all of those others around us that we know Christ and that we're striving to be like him. Now, the starting point to all that is putting our faith and trust in Christ. But once we've done that, we're told to add these various Christian virtues to our walk so that others can see our knowledge of him. And they're listed out very nicely for us here. So we'll take a look at all seven. And this is really verses five through seven. So the first of those is virtue, or another way to say that is moral excellence. There's an example that I saw that referenced an audio recording. So think about who might be the best singer that you've ever heard, whether it's, you know, Barbara Streisand or Celine Dion or one of the three tenors or somebody like that, any quality singer you can think of. And so picture them in a studio, put them in a studio and record them at their best, a Grammy winning performance by one of these singers in a studio. But if you recorded that audio on a cassette tape, remember cassette tapes from the 80s and early 90s, however far back you want to go, record it on a cassette tape, try to play it back through old speakers on a stereo where the batteries were half dead, what would that recording sound like? It doesn't matter who the singer is, that recording is not going to sound very good. And so it would be very lousy. The point being that an excellent recording is only done its justice when the reproduction of it is excellent. So the responsibility then of a Christian is to excellently reproduce the moral character of Christ. I didn't say perfectly reproduce, because nobody can do that perfectly because of our human nature, our sin nature. But again, we've been given that promise that we saw in verse 3, that we have the divine power to do it and can do well on a good effort. The second one is knowledge, adding that to the virtue. And that word has come up a couple of times already, knowledge. We find spiritual knowledge in the Word of God, and we trust the Holy Spirit to help us to understand it. But again, the research that we need to do to know Christ better and to put it into practice. The third one is self-control, adding that to knowledge and virtue. self-control is so important these days because there are so many worldly temptations that cross our paths every single day. Most of those that complete exams and send them into Life's Key prison ministry every day have indulged in those things at an excess level, letting their passions control them. Self-control is just the opposite of that, controlling the passions. We see in Galatians 5, as part of the fruit of the Spirit that should be evident in the believer. And that's more important now than maybe ever in the culture that we live in, because the culture promotes instant gratification, self-expression, all things like that. And so once again, though, it's possible to have this because of the divine power that we've been given through Christ. The fourth one is perseverance. Perseverance can be defined as patient endurance under adversity. I think about Jacob when I think of perseverance, when he worked 7 years hard labor for his uncle Laban because he wanted to marry Rachel, only to have the rug pulled out from under him after 7 years because, well, the older sister has to get married first, and so he would have to marry Leah. But, oh, for only 7 more years of hard labor, sure, he could marry Rachel. And so Jacob didn't throw in the towel. He didn't run away, as maybe a lot of us would have done. He persevered, and he did what he had to do to get what his desire was. And so we're not to give in or give up on things when times get tough. But when we focus on God's promises and exercise that trust in him, we can have that perseverance as well. The fifth one on the list, godliness, which is our personal devotion to God amidst the distractions of the world and of the flesh that we continuously encounter. Kind of like the WWJD, what would Jesus do idea, taking God into account in every aspect of life. And will we fall short of that? Sure, of course, we're going to fall short of that. But we're called upon to give it our best, and not just our best as it suits us, like if you barely study for a test and then flunk it and then try to say that you did your best when you really didn't. There was a lot of insight recently last year into the space program. Last year was 50 years since man landed on the moon. But before that, President Kennedy gave that that speech that we've all probably seen a whole lot of times where he said, we choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. It's hard to get a real sense of accomplishment when you spend a little bit of energy and then succeed at something that's very easy. But when you accomplish something that's hard, especially when adversity gets in the way, then that's when you can really see that success. Now, I'm not really comparing the moon landing to godliness. That was a task-oriented goal. This is a way of life. But the point is that those scientists and those engineers legitimately gave it their ultimate best. And in terms of godliness, God is the ultimate judge of what our best actually is, what kind of effort we really gave. Just something to keep in mind as we strive for some of these things. Two left. The sixth one, brotherly kindness. Probably something that most of us are good at, not being too self-centered in our interactions with one another, but rather interactions of warmth and affection and patience. Now, when this was written, when 2 Peter was written, believers were treated with a lot of hostility. And so they especially benefited from the tender treatment of one another. And finally, the last one is love. While brotherly kindness is more directed towards believers, love is what we must show to all people, not just those that are the most like us or the ones that are the most easy to get along with, but to all people. And Colossians 3:14, after a listing of number of godly characteristics, the Apostle Paul tells the believers to, above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Another great one that I remember from Sunday school, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so just the seven again: virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. All qualities in a well-rounded life of the believer. The more we practice these things, the more we mature spiritually, and the closer then we will be to our best. And the more then that we will be able to be prepared to share that, to share the love of Christ with others as we see them out and about, especially now when people are confused and searching for Christ. And we can definitely use those qualities, use those aspects to reach others for him. So we can, I can either end this in prayer, or I'm not sure if you guys have something else that you do before then, but just hopefully an encouragement as we go about our lives and just the armor that we can put on, the virtue and the different qualifications we can put on to be more like Christ. Okay, why don't I just end that in prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for the gathering here this morning. We thank you that we have the ability to do this, even though we can't be together. You've given us the technology to be able to still meet, albeit not in person, but still as a gathering of believers in worship of you. And we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the different things that you've outlined for us that we can use to just help ourselves to grow. We know that you're helping us ultimately, but just the things that we can read to be able to grow in the knowledge of you and in our faith. We just continue to pray, Lord, for everything that's going on around us. We pray especially for the events that are going to be coming up here in the summer, where, Lord, there's just so many that are willing and able to gather and share the word of Christ with others that may not know him. We just ask, Lord, that if that would be possible, that we would be able to continue to do those things. In the meantime, Lord, please encourage us. Please just keep us always looking up and just always remembering that regardless of what's going on around us, your love for us is there and you're in control. There are no surprises with you. We just thank you for your love, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.